Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
Well, it is a day of hope, and I think we're going to get more of it here in this next couple minutes, Carlene, because we have a wonderful friend of Your Network of Praise, Ron Hutchcraft, on the line with us right now.
We are definitely excited to greet this dear friend, Anna. Ron, I'm so glad you're on the line. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm a little late. I'm sorry. I apologize for sliding in late, but it is better to be Ron Hutchcraft late than the late Ron Hutchcraft.
You know, and I was always told you never apologize. You just call it making an entrance. So that's what we consider you.
There you go. There you go. Okay, I take it back.
Yes, exactly.
Delete apology.
It is so wonderful to hear your voice. You have become one of our dear friends, one of our favorites around here. And we wanted to just...
Wait a minute. Just a second. That's so good. Because you guys are my dear friends, and you're one of my favorites.
Ah, so see?
That works. That's a whole circle there.
I like it when it all works out like that. That's fantastic. Well, we were just wondering if we could kind of tap into your heart and brain a little bit. You are known for these wonderful, wonderful programs that we air called A Word with You with Ron Hutchcraft. And I subscribe to them in my email every day and get those incredibly encouraging messages. And I cannot tell you how many times, Ron, it's been exactly what I needed to hear and so timely. And we both know that's the Lord, you know, because by the time you create those and put them into production, they're recorded before the days that we hear them. And God is so kind to line those up with needs so often, and I'm sure you hear that quite a bit, but knowing your caliber for encouragement, we wanted to have you on today on our Day of Hope and just kind of ask some questions of you, because I believe you'll have some words that the Lord will give you to share in this quick time that we have with you. But first of all, let me explain that you have a portion of your ministry. It's called On Eagle's Wings. God broke your heart several years ago for the struggles and the plight of our First Nations brothers and sisters, and you've been very involved in helping them and encouraging them. And this summer with the pandemic, normally you would have had what you call your Summer of Hope tour, which some of these precious young men and women, you guys would load up on a bus, tour to reservations, spread the message of Jesus, watch salvations, and some beautiful things happen. But I'm guessing you didn't get to do that with the pandemic this year. So give us kind of an update on how this summer has looked for you guys. And I'm guessing that the needs are especially increased on the reservations during a year like this. How can we, what do we need to know? How can we be praying? Kind of if you'd give us that big picture of all of that.
Oh, I'm going to take a deep breath here. It has been, like for everybody, it's been quite a ride.
Yep.
And we're all ready to get off this roller coaster, I think.
Agreed.
But it looks like the ride is not done yet. Before we're done, I'm going to give you the verse that has been my anchor through it all and puts it whole in a much bigger perspective than the day-to-day kind of water torture we've had. Mm-hmm. What's happening, what's going to be the news today. Let's talk about Native America first. I just, you know, so much of my heart is there. And there are, I don't know any people who have had more loss to deal with, I mean, for centuries.
Right.
And up until the present. And there are so many more funerals than there are weddings and there are births. It seems like it's just... I don't know about the births, but there's just funerals all the time.
Yeah.
And there is serial grieving in Native America. Now, you take the coronavirus and what it has done in our communities and multiply that I don't know how many times over to try to imagine in the relative isolation of a reservation with very, very limited health care facilities, with all of the pre-existing conditions leading the nation in many things like diabetes and other things that give you a propensity to get the virus, and families jammed together three generations in a small house, and forget distancing, no way to do it. You put all that together, and what you have is grief upon grief upon grief.
Wow.
And you think it couldn't get worse than it did. And just one number will tell you that the rate of infection among Native Americans is over three times that of the rest of America. And we're all alarmed about what's going on with the rest of the culture, and imagine it's three times that in Native America with far less support systems there. So you have, for example, the Navajo Reservation had the highest rate of infection in the country for a number of weeks, beating New York, the whole state of New York and Florida and everybody else. So we have, for us, these are not just statistics and headlines. We'll tell you the names. My dear daughter-in-law, who is Navajo, who you met, Anna has lost several family members. Her brother died of the coronavirus. And so it's become very personal, and we are hearing constantly from reservations across the country, from people we know or care about or people they care about that are either sick or have gone on. And so I ask you to pray and ask the listeners there. I have experienced the power of your network of praise praying. Mm. And I want to ask you all, and especially in Native America, and I would ask your listeners to not forget these people that sometimes can be off our radar, but they're never off of God's radar. He cares deeply for them. He has heard their cries, and we need to hear their cries as well, and to pray that somehow this crisis might even lead to greater attention given to the needs of Native America. For at least, we're noticing at least how very desperate things are there. The government is noticing, and you hear even your Native Americans mentioned statistically for once. So I would just ask that that we'd see that long term, this might end up to bring more medical attention, more help, more better services, more of the kind of financial help that the reservations need. But right now, let's pray that in this now intensified crisis of hope, that this would be a time for, and I think this has happened in all of our lives, where the inadequacy of everything else I believe in and trust in has been proven.
Yep.
And none of it is big enough for something as big and pervasive and all life-encompassing as this is. And
that's right.
That could cause perhaps hearts that have been seated with the gospel to even turn to Jesus more. Now, as far as on Eagle's Wings, can you imagine how frustrating for us that, first of all, we have Warrior Leadership Summit, which you've been to, and I've never been in a youth conference where God shows up like he does there.
Right, right.
And I think he knows the need is greater, and he is just more evident, and its effects go back to 80, 90 reservations across the country. Well, obviously, when there's lockdown on so many reservations, and on many of them still going on, it has never been lifted, while ours have. So the discouragement, the depression. And we were going to go to some of the most suicide-prone reservations in the country this summer. Mm. First of all, we couldn't bring everybody together for Warrior Leadership Summit, but God led us to invent. I mean, it was like the middle of May when we said we can't do it. We had a meeting socially distanced in a garage. I was thinking of starting a garage band while I was there. And we had two things. We had a box of Kleenex and a blank piece of paper.
Wow.
And the box of Kleenex was for our grief. We grieved over not being able to bring these young people together for what one leader called their 1 week of hope a year. But we said, doggone it, we can still go on with the mission. And one of the things that God is trying to tell us as leaders through all of this is it is not the method that changes lives, it's the master.
Yep.
And we tend to get a little more dependent on the method than we realized we were.
That's
right. But that's why David said, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Our horses all ran away. The wheels came off our chariots because of the virus. And so we were left. But I will trust in the name of the Lord my God.
Yes.
That's where he wanted us all along. We, with the blank piece of paper, we said, Lord, what do you want us to do? We developed an online Warrior Leadership Summit. We had by far at least twice and probably many more that were reached that way than have ever been to a Warrior Leadership Summit.
Wow.
from scores of tribes across the country. They were coming to Christ online. It was an amazing thing. We've got some gifted people. God used those gifts to put together a tremendous online experience. And so God said, I want you to touch more lives than ever. Now, nothing can replicate the experience of all being together.
Right.
But a lot of it, we were able to capture the WLS experience online. We couldn't go to the reservations, but all summer long, we have been discipling our On Eagles Wings team members, because this is where they grow into warriors. They grow into leaders. And here's the good news. I developed a series of Bible studies out of 2 Timothy for them, and it was about God's Rebel Alliance, how to be a warrior in God's Rebel Alliance. And the cool thing is, it was led by our native young men and women, big brothers and sisters from our teams. And so leadership continued to develop this summer, even in the absence of the event. So let me say, methods have to go sometimes,
yes,
but the mission must continue.
Oh, my goodness.
And you just stay on mission, and you say, God wants to do a new thing, wake up and listen to what he's trying to tell you.
You know, Ron, I have tears in my eyes. It's incredible to hear, and it is so akin to something that just struck me between the eyes a couple of months ago, thinking about, you know, so many people facing discouragement with this year, and it just hit me like a bolt of lightning, something that basically you just said, that the kingdom doesn't stop just because our world has come to a halt in so many ways. The mission, the focus, the passion, the compassion of the kingdom doesn't stop, because we serve a Jesus who died once, but he is alive forevermore. And he is working in the hearts of anyone who will hear him and welcome him in. And so that report, it hurts my heart, because yes, I have been at Warrior Leadership Summit. It left a mark on me in the best possible use of that phrase. I was touched deeply at witnessing what I did there. And so it hurts me to know that they couldn't have that week in person, but to know that more numbers were coming to him. God refuses to be put into a box, even when, again, it seems like our worlds have stopped. So praise God for that.
The coronavirus has been a sledgehammer that has busted all our boxes.
Yep.
And God says, I don't want to be in your box. And one of the dangers is we're going to say, oh, I can't wait to get back to normal. Well, I know me too. I know I'd like to eat out, and I would like to, you know, feel like safe going some places. And although I have had a number of compliments that I look a lot better with a mask covering part of my face, but that really hasn't helped me at all, those compliments. But I just want to give you the verse now. Here we go.
Yes.
Proverbs 18:21 goes like this. Many are the plans in a person's heart. Hello, let me stop for a minute before I get to the good part. Anybody's plans work out the past few months?
Right.
Did you get to take that vacation? How about the kids in school? How about the job? How about church? How about going to church on Sunday? I mean, you know, just forget it. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails.
Yes.
Now that is, listen, hang on to that, my brothers, my sisters, hang on to that, because we're down here in the weeds of our plans and frustrated, and I am a planner. Mm-hmm. I'm a big-time planner. I don't like this. This is not fun. Apparently, if the plans are canceled by things beyond our control,
right,
then here's the point. Apparently, God's purposes didn't need my plans right now.
Mm-hmm.
And his purposes in my life, in our ministry, in your family, in where all these various arenas of your life, may be better accomplished without the distraction of your plans right now.
Mm-hmm.
And God made a promise. He told us this. He said, Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing.
Mm.
It is springing up in front of you. Do you not perceive it? Well, you might not perceive it. Here's how you miss the new thing God's trying to do through all this pain. Is if you keep looking out the rearview mirror.
Mm.
If you're still looking backwards, and you say, well, I want to get back to... Listen, if God had liked our normal the way it was, he wouldn't have shaken it up so much.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going through all of this just for, kicks. This is to get our attention to say, I actually want to change some of your normal. I've got something better for you.
Yes.
And if we'll say, God, please help me to get past the frustration of what's happened to my plans and graduate to embracing your purposes before I even know what they are. And I learned this with my dear wife Karen's homegoing, that the sooner I embraced God's purposes, the sooner I experienced his peace.
Mm.
And you can have peace in the midst of all of this upheaval and uncertainty if you'll say, God, I want to start to get into your word and pursue what you're wanting to do through this. How can you use this rather than how can I cope with another day of this?
Boy, I can't underscore enough what you have just said, and it echoes so many things that have been in my heart too. You know, I think this whole season of this year, I've heard many people say it, is really exposing what's in our hearts. Because as you said, are we trusting really in the method and in the plans that we've laid? Because we've worked so hard to create them, it's very hard to let them go. But Jesus always has a better way. You know, you go back to 1 Corinthians 13, love, it has a better way. And I think we can so idolize sometimes. We don't even realize we're doing it, but we can make idols out of our plans, our paradigms, our methodologies, the things that we've worked so hard for, that in a season like this, it's hard to let go and press into Jesus in a new way and say, what is it you want to show me? How are you working out relationship with me, with the body of Christ at large, in a brand new way that you're wanting to add fresh new life to? So,
well, let me tell you, I just affirm what you said. I was looking in Psalm 139, and there's a song like this, and many of us have learned the verse. It says, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me."
Yep.
Well, you'll see different translations of the wicked way thing in there, offensive way, what anxious way. I looked it up, and one of the meanings of the Hebrew word is idol.
Mm.
Lord, search me and see if there's any idols in me. And John Calvin said that the human heart is a constant idol-making factory.
Yes.
And idols are not just the little statues in the closet.
Right.
Which you burn incense to. An idol is anything that has taken the place of God in your life, and that means that I'm depending on more than him. In 2008, when everything collapsed on Wall Street in that one horrible weekend that started the Great Recession, I was talking a few weeks later. I was talking, actually speaking for some Wall Street guys, and one of the Christian guys said, "You know, Ron, if you had asked any of us on the street, that being Wall Street, if you'd asked any of us on the street where our trust was, even though we handle millions of dollars every day," he said, "we would have told you, well, obviously, our trust is in God." But listen to what he said after that. He said, "until the things we were really trusting in disappeared."
Yep.
And when you use the word exposed, that's right. And that's one of the purposes of God we should be looking for, is to say, because if we can get this right, we will soar higher than we've ever soared before.
Yes.
Because we're being held down by some baggage we didn't know we had.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's priorities. You know, when the earthquake hit in 1989 during the World Series, I don't know if you remember that or not, but there was an earthquake in the third game of the World Series, the game was in San Francisco. And, I mean, all of a sudden, the camera started shaking. And, obviously, the game was canceled. Terry Kennedy was catcher for the San Francisco team. And afterwards, all he could do was look for his family. I mean, he was here his dream had come true, that he was playing in the World Series, his lifetime dream. All of a sudden, all he cared about was his family. And when he was asked by a reporter what he was thinking, he said one thing. He said, sure does change your priorities, doesn't it?
Mm.
And I would tell you, the corona quake we are in, I was going to say have been through, but I'd have to say are in, has been the quake that maybe that is what God's been trying to do, that in life there's two lists, the things that really matter and the things that really don't.
Mm.
We get those lists mixed up.
Yep.
And things that don't really matter matter a lot to us.
Mm-hmm.
And things that really matter get pushed aside. And maybe through all of this, God is saying, I want you to focus the rest of your living mm-hmm. on the things that really matter. Let's get those straight. You've got a lot of trivia that has become extremely important to you. And it sure does change your priorities, doesn't it, when everything is shaped.
Boy, amen and amen. I know we need to wrap up our time with you because you have other commitments for your day, and thank you so much for spending this time. But I'd like to ask one final question, Ron. I was really blessed when earlier in the year, Roger was having a conversation with Dave and I, and he said his heart was just really, really burdened for people that fall in the following categories: pastors, ministry leaders, and I would include, I suppose, like business owners, basically anyone in a place of leadership. It's hard enough with the daily grind and the things you fight, especially in ministry, the spiritual warfare you come against. It always seems like things are stacked against you in many ways anyway. And then you add a pandemic. You yourself are a ministry leader, whether speaking from your own experience or whatever you want to say. How would you encourage those who feel responsible for leading others in ministry, that they themselves are facing this too? There's so much stress that can be there, and we know mental health is declining among people. I mean, this has been such a long, sustained journey, and we don't exactly know when it's going to end. What words of encouragement would you give to those specifically in a place of ministry that are trying to shepherd this well?
Well, let me start with the words of encouragement God spoke to me. Frustrated planner, Lord, what is going on? And getting just weary of how hard everything is to do now. It just layers and layers of complexity, difficulty, frustration. And I ended up with Jeremiah, as in the guy who wrote the book, and I ended up in a book of the Bible that I haven't spent much time in because of its title, Lamentations. It's like, who really wants to lament? You know, I want to spend five chapters with a depressed prophet. I don't know. I can write my own. That's fine.
Right.
But anyway, it is amazing as you read through that. That book has really come to life for me, and there are many little phrases in there. I won't get into it, but man, that describe our situation. And one of the things he says in there is that there was no nation that could deliver us. And I thought, you know, including our own. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are beyond the usual towers of strength. And Jeremiah, when you get into that book, understandable, he is walking through the wreckage of the temple of God, and all the promising people, the leadership people, have been carted off to Babylon, to a pagan country. He is in this abandoned, just imagine New York or Chicago or Los Angeles or wherever, and it's like a nuclear landscape,
mm-hmm.
basically. And he is walking through, and honestly, it sounds like PTSD.
Yeah,
he is so discouraged. He is so sad. He has got hard questions for God as to what is going on. He actually describes it this way in the third chapter. He said, "My soul is downcast within me." And the word in Hebrew means it is sinking. I am drowning in the sorrow that I am surrounded by. And it wasn't just his own sorrow. It was the sorrow of the people he had ministered to. Mm-hmm. Though they didn't respond, he loved these people. And this is how I'm sure many of my brothers and sisters in ministry have felt. And he talks about his wandering, and his it's amazing. Just real quick, I'm lamenting here. I got to go over there. My soul is downcast within me. I remember my affliction, which means in the Hebrew misery and depression. Now listen, this is God's man. I remember my wandering, straying. And when he talks about my bitterness and my gall, the word there means venom. Hmm. He is but crushed. Yet, turning point, here's the hint.
Yes.
Yet, I call this to mind. And therefore I have hope. That's the first time we've heard him mention hope. Hmm. What's going on here? And then it's in that context that verses we have learned and sung in the context of being surrounded by devastation and so much loss because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed.
Yes.
He had been consumed by the losses around him instead of being consumed. And he said, he had been dwelling on the great losses, and he forgot the great love.
Mm.
And he says, for his compassions, his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. You're probably singing the song in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Great is thy faithfulness. And you know what? That morning is every daybreak.
Yeah.
At the beginning of every new day, the mercies for that day, for this particular Monday, whatever you're going to need and your congregation's going to need, it is like the manna in the Old Testament. You
yes.
go out with your basket and you pick it up early in the morning, and the Bible and God promised them that if they go out and do that, you will see the glory of the Lord in the morning.
Mm.
And we need to go. All I can say is this. This is going to sound so like Christianity 101 to people who are on in the 400 courses. But the fact is this. We need, at the daybreak of a new day, as leaders, we need to not just read verses
right.
and check the box. We need our heart to touch God's and God's to touch ours.
Yes.
And to say, Lord, I am desperate, not just but for me, but I need to help my people not forget. Your great prophet of old said, I forgot the love that we have. I forgot to go get the mercies.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're dwelling on the news, you're going to sink.
Right.
And I'm a news junkie, so I really got to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
If the first thing I do in the morning is consult my phone and it's not scripture, I'm going to sink.
Right.
If I'm living on social media right now, I'm going to sink fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battlefield. And right now, some things have not changed. And that is, first of all, that I can go get mercies for the grace, strength, answers, bread for that day, not tomorrow, for that day.
Mm-hmm.
Corrie Ten Boom said, worry does not rob tomorrow of its trouble. It robs today of its strength.
Yes.
And so to again go back to where he apparently, when he says, I had to turn back to God's love, he had gone past it. And it's really easy to start making a list of the losses right now. And when you focus on the loss instead of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you sink like a rock.
Yep.
And the crisis reveals. So let's go. Let's say this. Ask questions like this. Lord, what have we been more dependent on than you?
Wow.
Or what has been our God plus factor?
Yes.
I'm dependent on God plus my services, my passing the offering plate, my sermons, a lot of that we couldn't do.
Right.
So God says, I take it away so you can get it in the right place. So what have we been more dependent upon? And then what kind of modeling are we doing for our people in terms of realizing that their mission to share Christ with people and model Jesus with joy,
mm-hmm.
with peace,
mm-hmm.
things that you are really hard to find right now.
Right.
With a focus on others instead of on myself. How am I doing modeling that for my people? And to realize that mission, if anything, has become more important than ever. Paul said when he was in the stinking Roman prison, chained to a guard, basically unable to move. Well, I like to think of it as the guard chained to the Apostle Paul, but that's another story. I'm sure the guard thought that too. He said, I am ambassador in chains.
Yes.
Well, one thing never changed. Paul was always Christ's ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
So our in may have changed.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter whether it's in the hospital
mm-hmm.
or in the funeral home even. Or if it's in the unemployment line.
Right.
I am an ambassador.
Yes.
That never changes.
Yes.
I am, and I have a chance to represent hope right now in the only place it could be found in this mess,
mm-hmm.
which is in Jesus. And so, what are we modeling as leaders? And the beautiful thing is that it's, the key word in Philippians when Paul's in that prison is joy
mm-hmm.
and rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what, joy in a prison is contagious.
Right.
And curious. What?
Yep.
And that's why I think those guards came to Christ, the Praetorian guards, and he talks about the gospel getting to Caesar's throne room through them because they come in all grumpy. And the prisoners got joy.
Right.
What is this? And so if we can keep our people on mission and understand, is God trying to turn us away from being so inward as a congregation
mm-hmm.
to a greater outward focus because we see such glaring needs right now? And he may be giving you, and I know a number of churches this is happening in, ways to connect with your community.
Right.
And to validate the love of Christ to them in ways they will understand. So this is a time to mobilize within
yeah.
the limitations that we have to make a difference in our community. And maybe God's saying, as Jesus said to the disciples in Samaria, lift up your eyes, look up. The Samaritans were headed their direction while they were trying to get him to eat lunch. And he said, guys, the harvest is walking toward us.
Yep.
Look at this. It's right in front of us. Open your eye. Lift up your eye. What are you looking down for? Look over there. They're coming our direction. And I do think people are more ready for Jesus right now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that's what they're ready for. But they are more ready for Jesus, many of them, than they have ever been before. This is our moment.
Yes.
Let's meet the moment.
Yes. Oh, amen and amen. Listen, brother, you you bless us so much every time. It's why you're one of our number one guests that we like to have on.
Well, nobody talks more, that's for sure. You get more words per minute.
The difference, Ron, is that some people talk a lot but don't really say much. But
well,
you're not
what
that.
What I do is I talk until I say something. See, that's how that.
Well, it works really well.
Roger, it's good to hear you, man. I'm sorry to take up all the air in the room here.
No, I just wanted to listen and see what you and Carlene talked about.
Well, she's quite the lady. She's a joy girl. She's good to have at a time like this.
Oh, bless you, friend. That means so much. Well, I know you need to get going to your day, but before you hang up, I would like to read a blessing over you straight out of Scripture, and I'm saying this in my heart, both to you, to your ministry, Ron, and also especially to First Nations reservations across the country. I pray that a spiritual earthquake of God's blessing will happen and overshadow and overtake. But this is the blessing straight out of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Ron, you bless us so much. Thank you, dear friend, and thank you for squeezing us in your busy day. We really appreciate you.
Well, thanks for letting me be a part of the YNOP family, because I really do count you guys as dear friends and special servants of God. Mm-hmm. I think your listeners know that. And I'm just going to say to your listeners, I know it's harder to give right now, and there, no one's asked me to say this. Yeah, God just did. And right now is a time when they are not going to talk about themselves. They would much rather talk about God and you. But there, I can only imagine that you could be an answer to their prayers this day by your getting behind them. And they have been an answer to your prayers more times than you can count. It's time to complete that circle today.
Thank you, dear friend. We appreciate you. We love you. We pray God goes before you and hems you in from behind, and we hope to talk again soon, okay?
Thank you.
God
sure
bless
appreciate you.
Appreciate
you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.